everybody, and welcome to the Drummers Education Connection. I'm Bart Robley, and I am here with three of my great friends, actually four of my great friends. We've got down in Tucson, Arizona, Chip Ritter, San Diego, California,
hello,
Rick Stojak, in the Bay Area,
hey,
Jeremy Steinkohler. And I just found this out about 38 seconds ago. My friend Brent Barnett is in South Florida.
And
he's actually in a room and he's not swimming. So our prayers go out to everybody in Florida, and thank God Brent's okay. Thank God Brent's okay. Brent, it's great to have you on the show, buddy.
Thanks, Bart. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
You bet. Hey, so what we didn't tell you before we got on, we had a couple technical things. What we do is we start the show with a thing called Good Things, and we go around and just talk about stuff that's going on good in our lives that's either with drumming, outside of drumming, and also do a little bit of business here. If you guys want to donate to the show, you can go to Patreon, to our Patreon page. Chip is going to put that in the comments. And that'll help us keep the lights on, keep our website going, help us do the advertising for Deck Day, which we got coming up in April at Aquarian Drumheads. That's going to be fantastic. This will be our third Deck Day. That's going to be really cool. So all your proceeds that you would donate to us go to that sort of stuff. Good things. Chip, what do you got going on good in your life, my man?
Dude, I'm going to play at the Drumathon X this year, this weekend on Sunday. I'm flying out to Dallas. And I'm playing the breastcancerconstickit.org drumathon to raise money to help fight breast cancer, get mammograms, fund research trials and clinics and stuff. And I'm playing with John Kelly from Quiet Riot, Phil Verone from Saigon Kick, and Greg Bissonette from Ringo's R Stars. And
awesome.
I'm going to be one of them celebrity drummer guys too. I get to hang out with those guys. So it's going to be cool.
Awesome. Very cool,
I'm stoked.
Man. Very cool. Very cool.
Say hi to Greg for us.
I will.
Yeah, please. Please tell Greg that we said hi and thanks for being on the show in the past, man. Greg's a great dude. Rick, what do you got going on, bud?
Man, I am still fired up after my weekend of hosting Zorro for drumming workshops here. The energy is still in the room from when he was here and ripped apart this kit. And you know, it feels so exciting to you know, get a little freshen upper on all of my techniques. And so I've become a better drummer and a better teacher for it. And all my students are just fired up like absolutely crazy. They're all like way into it. They're buying more gear. They're buying more books. They're just drumming like crazy. So, man, thank you to Zorro. And if you're a drum teacher, man, it's worth the time and energy to host a great drummer and bring that energy to your students. So I'm just so pumped up. So what
Very
about you,
cool.
Jeremy? What are you up to?
Lots of good stuff. Just wrapped up a great recording session a week ago with Jean Feinberg and her jazz band. And heading up to Mendocino this weekend for a gig up there. And then my wife and I are going to Europe for 3 weeks. So
Yeah,
super excited about that. Just dropped off my son at college. So this is our sort of empty nest trip. And then going to be back in time to go to PASIC with you guys. So really looking forward to that. It's going to be a great month.
Very cool. Yeah. PASIC's going to be fun, man. I got you know, as usual, Sam Morrison Band's on the road. We had an incredible year. Head back out. We got this weekend off. We head back out next week for a few shows out in the Phoenix area. We're excited about that. Staying really busy there. My new Bullseye One Shots for drum sampling comes out. It's all done. The I's are dotted. The T's are crossed. Should be available this week or next week. It's kind of my web guy that helps me out with stuff is slammed right now. But that's going to be up and available. I'm really, really excited about that. Now I'm going to throw it to Brent. Brent, what do you have going on good in your life? Before we introduce you, what's happening in Florida?
Oh, man, it's the last few months have been a really big, like, whirlwind. A lot of great things, you know, a lot of big life changes that's happened for me, you know, getting back to work with Gibraltar again. Gibraltar's always been, like, a huge passion of mine. It's been a huge part of my life. We recently moved to South Florida from Nashville, and we moved out here to be closer to family. And so I'm just getting, you know, kind of, you know, used to the area, learning all the new things, doing some fishing. which I love fishing. I'll wake up at like 5 o'clock in the morning and go out to the pond right behind our house and, you know, spend a couple hours fishing, catch some bass, you know, like that.
Nice. Great.
Awesome. But and then, you know, getting to be with the family. There's a lot of family time we have. My son's really big into, you know, baseball. He's 10. And I'm helping coach his team. And my daughter's 6, and she's really into dance and acrobatics. So it's been a wonderful last 6 months.
Awesome. Dude, that is incredible.
I coached my kids' Little League team for 5 years. Those were some of the funnest times I ever had. So good on you.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I love it. I love being there every chance I get.
That's cool.
That's so cool. Hey, Brent, so let's just start with this. You and I have known each other for a while. I met you through Gibraltar Hardware when I came on as an artist. Originally, I came on with Kim Graham when it was with Command. And then you and I became friends through Gibraltar. And when you left, I said this before we got on the show, I was really bummed. And then when I saw that you were back, I was so excited. And I like reached out. I gave it a little while, but I reached out right away. How do I get in touch with Brent? And here we are. You're on the podcast. What happened there? What was the transition where you left and then came back? Because I know so many people that in the industry that are like, Brent's back. I mean, a lot of people are really excited to have you back. So that's got to make you feel good. What happened? Tell us the story, please.
Well, you know, I've been with Gibraltar since 2007. And then an opportunity came up in 22 for me that was, you know, beneficial to my family. And it was with Hercules Stands. Okay. And they needed someone to manage their stand line. I'm sure all of you guys are aware of Hercules Stands. And if you're not, they are an instrument stand company. They make everything from guitar stands to band and orchestra stands to pro audio. Right. And
Did they make the Ludwig snare stands or something like that? Or was that, am I mistaken, that's not Hercules?
No, that's not Hercules. Hercules,
okay,
you recognize Hercules by the black and yellow guitar stands.
Oh, okay, got that. I know those.
System. Yeah, everybody knows the black and yellow. Yeah. So I worked with them for a couple years, and then I got a call earlier this last spring, and they were telling me, you know, hey, we would love for you to come back and work with Gibraltar. And, you know, they told me about a little bit what was going on. And I got really excited. That whole flame of, you know, working and being creative with the brand just totally got reignited within me. And as I had like literally two conversations and I'm like, I'm in, you know?
That's great, man. That's great.
That's great when you feel like you know so clearly that your values align with the company, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's the direction they really want to go is a direction that I've, you know, wanted to go in, you know, and been wanting to do this for my whole career. And it's really exciting to see, to hear about like the direction that the brand is going to go in over the next few years.
Brent, can you describe a little bit more about that direction? What's cool about it? What?
It's going to be like, you know, with content, it's refreshing every single thing that we've done in the past.
Oh, okay.
But doing like, just putting a new spin on everything.
Oh, okay.
Making it fun and entertaining, like what we used to do when, I started creating content back in 2012. Right. So it's going to be really fun and engaging, and I'm excited about it.
Nice.
Hey, awesome.
One of the things that I've always liked whenever I watched any of your videos with Brent Sang and you were talking about, you could be talking about like a wing nut and you got excited about it. Yeah. And I'm serious, dude. You like, you know, you really enjoyed it. And I like when you guys did the swing nut and you were talking about, you know, how, you know, a little bit of time makes a big difference at the end of the gig when you're packing up at the end of the night and you really knew the product. and your videos were always really well done. I love the new videos where you show the level and how to put the racks together and stuff like that. Where did your passion for building the racks come from? Was that because you grew up using a rack, or you just liked the way they looked with other drummers? Where did that come from?
That's an interesting question. So I think my passion for building racks stemmed from playing drums in the beginning. So right. I moved to LA when I was 20 years old to pursue playing drums. I wanted to be a professional player, just like a lot of people that moved there. And, you know, I ended up getting a job at this company called Center Staging, which is a backline company in Burbank. And right. for those of you that aren't familiar with what a backline company is, backline company is a company that rents gear out, musical gear out, to bands that are performing on live shows or television shows or award shows. So I got the opportunity to work in drum department there for about 4 years. And through that, I got to learn the ins and outs of all the different brands and hardware. And then we started getting guys, like the last couple of years I was there, we started getting guys going like, hey, so I need a rack for this show. And I was really the only one in drum department that wanted to take on something like that. And I had kind of figured out that I didn't want to pursue a career in music because, for one, you know, I was taking lessons from, at the time I was taking a few lessons from Ray Luzier, and he goes, hey, you know, one of these days you and I might show up at the same audition. And I went, if I ever show up to an audition and you're there, I'm leaving. I realized that I needed something a little bit more stable for myself. So I kind of started putting my creativity and attention into building these types of setups when I was at Center Staging. So I had to design a couple different players' racks. And then I got the job over at with KMC, which was Command Music at that time, who owned Gibraltar Hardware. And it was for the artist relations position. Well, I had to start designing racks for all the different artists that they were endorsing. And I really got into, you know, being able, the whole creative factor of it. And when I was a kid, I liked Legos. I liked building things. And, you know, even today, I like building things out of wood when I get an opportunity. But just the whole creative aspect of what you can do with Gibraltar was really what inspired me and fueled, you know, my passion for it. Because once I discovered that you could cut one bar and then you got a clamp that allow you to do this, and there, and everybody's just like, no, just do your thing, like, just make me something cool. And I mean, I'm like, I'm getting paid to do this. This is.
Hey, Brent. For our newer drummers, can you tell them about Gibraltar, what they do overall, just like an overall view of the company and what products you offer?
So Gibraltar is a hardware-only company. Like we make hardware for drummers to go with all different brands of drums. Like most brands make hardware that fit their particular drum set. Like, for instance, Tama makes hardware that fits Tama. Pearl makes hardware to fit Pearl, DW, and so on and so on. And it's hard for people to want to cross over. A lot of players, they really want to match their hardware to their drums. Like, for instance, you'll never really see a Tama player using Mapex hardware. You'll never see a DW player using Sonar hardware or Pearl hardware. You know, they typically stay with their brand-specific hardware company. However, Gibraltar is one of those we've always called ourselves like the Switzerland of hardware. You know, we're like the crossover brand, right? So we're one of the brands that will cross over from drum brand to drum brand.
That makes sense.
We work with so many different brands. I mean, we'll work with Tama, Pearl, Yamaha, DW. Every single brand out there, we make a part that will allow you to use your kit with our hardware. So we make everything from, you know, drum set hardware stands, tom stands, educational, you know, extended high snare stand stuff that you would see in a concert band situation, drum racks. We're really big into thrones. We've got like 20 to 30 different types of thrones. Any kind of throne a player would need or would want, Gibraltar offers that, and it offers you the ability to choose what's going to be the best feel for you. What's, you know, what's going to be the right cushion? Is it the right firmness? Is it the right height? Is it the right base? Gibraltar has, you know, gives you those options because there are so many things to choose from. Yes. And with racks, we've just gone crazy with, you know, all the different types of clamps that you can do to customize how you want your experience to be when you play. And as a drummer, you know, it's all about how you feel behind that drum kit.
Right.
And your playing is going to be affected by how you feel. So Gibraltar is all about making you feel the best you possibly can when you play.
That's cool.
It just seems that if you want to mount something on a drum kit, whatever it is, whether it's a phone or a cowbell or a tom, whatever it is, Gibraltar has a hardware for you too.
Oh yeah, we got 30 different ways to do that as well. Like, you know, if you want to mount it to a cymbal stand, if you want to mount it to a rack, if you want to mount it using tom stands, I mean, there's a different flavor for any drummer out there.
What if you want to mount a plaster head of Bart on top of your cymbal?
Bobblehead of Bart.
Give me a drill bit and the thread, and I'll thread it on there, and you can put it right on.
Hey Brent, I got a question for you.
I think that's a great product, a Bart bobble by Gibraltar. Yeah, sorry, Chip.
That's all right.
Go ahead, Chip. Sorry.
I got a question for you. And a long time ago, I saw one of the Brent's Hangs videos where you had this big, massive white double bass drum set, and the vertical stands, and then the curvy ones. When you finish your job, you had this whole new look to the whole drum set. I was wondering, do you have a favorite rack system that you've built before, that you've created?
Oh, wow.
Anything stand out, like one of your favorites?
That is a tough one. That's a tough one. There's so many that I've done. I would probably have to say is something that I didn't necessarily design, but I really facilitated and helped to build was Glenn Sobel's rack.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys have seen
yeah. Oh yeah, I've seen it. It's pretty crazy.
Alex, oh my gosh. And his drum tech, Michael Miller, is an insane designer when it comes to racks. He's so good at designing rack setups. And he came to me with this design and told me about what he wanted to do. And he's like, how do we do it? And I'm saying, all right, well, if it's going to go together like this, these are the parts that we need. And just the look of Glenn's rack and the way that it just flows right around his drum kit. There's just something that's really, really amazing to me about that. It's really sexy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Glenn has a sexy rack is what you're trying to say. I'm sorry. I'm just teasing. I've got a question for you, Bart Brent. I've always been curious about the advances in technology, you know, the design, the technological aspect of the hardware and how it's improved over the decades. And does Gibraltar have like a whole R&D department of mechanical engineers that works on like inventing better ways to make hardware and more efficient setups and stuff?
Yeah, there is. You know, every different company has a different way that they work with factories and how they design product. But yes, we do have a mechanical engineer design R&D team in Taiwan that works directly with our factory to help create product.
So, like, if you guys from talking to one of your artists or maybe just from internal, because I assume most of you are drummers. Come up with something like, you know, this is not efficient. There must be a better way to design this. Or maybe you're thinking about like getting the snare drum stand off the floor. I know you guys have that awesome rack system where like there's no tripod. do you like approach the design team and say, hey, we had this idea about this, and then you sort of start going down that direction to figure something out?
Yeah, so a lot of those conversations will start that way, and we'll be like, look, so this particular stand really, it isn't functioning as well as it possibly could. There's got to be a better solution out there to what is currently out on the market. You know, here's what everybody else is doing, and here's what's needed. We need it to do this. Mm-hmm. And our team is very good about creating something functionally that is really beneficial to players.
Hey, Brent, is today's current corn rig with Ray Luzier, is that a Gibraltar?
No. That's okay. He's a DW player.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know. That's why I wanted to know.
So, with the design stuff, right? Brent, when you are designing something, I think because, like you said, it's a hardware-specific company, right? I mean, you're dealing. You don't have to deal with, okay, how do we get, you know, this particular rim on a drum? You're dealing with just hardware. Do you feel that not only is it more innovative, but it's also more bulletproof, so to speak? Like, you really make the hardware to withstand the road. And I'm not just talking racks, it's a cymbal stand. Do you feel that because of that fact that you're just a hardware company, you can really focus in on the strength of the stand?
Yeah, I do. That's the one thing that Gibraltar does pride in itself, is how durable the product is. And what we like to do before we release anything into the market is we want to get it, you know, officially like road tested with artists.
Right.
And if it's, you know, if they find a way to break it, I mean, I really encourage them to beat the living hell out of the stand, because, you know, there's going to be somebody out there that does that. And we need to be able to, you know, work with that kind of abuse on any stand. You know, if we're going to call ourselves the, you know, hardware only company, we need to be able to be extremely durable. So, but what it also does is it also gives us the ability to be able to expand into other categories that that other brands can't go to, because they have multiple focuses within their brand. But yeah, I do. We do want as many artists as we can to road test things as we make them.
One of the things that I will attest to, since you said that, I mean, I said this before at the beginning of the show, you know, we do 100-ish shows a year, maybe a little less, maybe a little more. But I'm on the road all the time. The guys can attest to that. There'll be a lot of times I check in and we're out on tour when we're doing a show. And my hardware goes in and out every single night. And it's torn. It's not like I'm going into a semi-truck. This stuff is set up, torn down, put in a case, reset up, put back together every night, sometimes 7-8 nights in a row. And knock on wood, I haven't had a failure. The snare drum stand that I use, I got from you back in the day, Brent. I mean, probably around 2007. It's remarkable that snare stand withstands the beating that it does. The hardware is fantastic, so I want to attest to that. I do have a question for you in regards to racks in a situation like mine. I've found that when you are playing every night, and you're not just wheeling it in and out of a truck, and you have to set it up and tear it down. I used to use the Sidekick and the Stealth Rack. I don't use it anymore. I still have them. I just don't use it because it took so much to set it up and tear it down.
Okay.
Night after night. What would you suggest to somebody? And I use all my stands are all Gibraltar. You know, everything's Gibraltar. What would you suggest to somebody in a situation like mine where they want to use a rack, but they're, you know, it's going together and coming apart every night? What's your suggestions for that?
What size kit are we talking about?
I play a pretty small kit. I play four drums, four-piece kit. What you see here, just a little bit bigger drums. That's okay. Four-piece kit.
You know, to be honest, I was going to ask you guys this question, and it was a question brought up among our team, and it was funny. But like racks or stands. When do you know to use a rack or when do you know to use stands? Mm-hmm. To me, like I'm a, you know, when I play, I'm lazy. I don't want to carry around a bunch of stuff. I want to have the bare minimum. I want to have, you know, one rack tom, floor tom, pick and snare, and then two crashes, a ride, and hats. Now, to me, I would personally use stands when it comes to a situation like that. I would combine things, for instance, like my rack tom and cymbal stand, I would combine. I would use a tom stand and then a small little mini boom out of the back of that for my left main crash, and then a ride and crash stand. Where I would transition over to a rack would be probably when I added either another drum or another cymbal or two. Because as soon as you start adding, like, stands are going to be faster to tear down if you've got three cymbals. You know what I mean? Two crashes and ride and hi-hats. That's going to be, I mean, those are going to come down really fast, especially if you memory lock the stand. But when you start adding more stands to that, you've got four cymbals, five cymbals, that's when you start having to worry about positioning everything. And that's where racks really come in, is because when you start positioning cymbals all over your kit, you can never get a tripod in the same place every single time without manipulating it. And you're going to constantly have to move them around. And that's where a rack really kind of saves you time, is let's say you've got a rug, you've got it marked off, and you're using a side stealth rack. You've got memory locks, you've got multi-clamps that are already attached to the bar. All you do is just set the booms in, and then it's going to be in the same place every single time.
That's got to save a lot of time.
Yeah. And, you know, when you're at a gig and you've been playing for 3 or 4 hours, the last thing you want to do is have 5 or 6 cymbal stands that you have to break down and put them in your bag. Plus, you're dealing with a lot more weight than you would on a small, like, stealth-style rack.
How far would you say, okay, like on a stealth rack, you know, two racks, let's say, they're down low, everything's coming up, you know, all the cymbals are coming up from the floor off of a lower rack rather than one that goes over the bass drum. How far would you suggest breaking it down to pack it away to go in the trailer for the next night's gig? All the way down or just parts of it, just to pull the cymbal stands off? What are your suggestions there?
Well, I mean, if you have the ability, I would just take the cymbal arms out and leave the actual base of the rack together. So then you don't have to worry about assembling anything. You know, some people have that ability with, depending upon, you know, if they're showing up with a kind of car that they're using, or if they're using a trailer. If you've got an SUV and you've got enough room to put a little stealth rack put together in the back, by all means, keep it together. If you're in a situation like, I used to drive a Honda Civic, and it was a coupe. So there is no way that I was getting, you know, a rack set up, put together, completely set up and put together in the back of my car. So I would have to break it down. In that case, I would memory lock every single component on that. And all you're doing is just removing two wing nuts, and that's it. And then you put it in your bag. So then you've got your legs already assembled, and you're just attaching the bar. So it really is, even though you're having to assemble that small of a rack, and you're still having to assemble it, it's still faster when you are, once you have it together, versus having to reposition tripods all the time. Because when you're behind the kit, you know, you get everything set up, you're behind the kit, and then, you know, you notice yourself going like, okay, I'm trying to feel the cymbal up here. I'm going to pull it a little closer. I'm going to push this one further back. You constantly have to do that with tripods. With a rack, you basically lock it in the first time, and it's that way every time you play it.
So, Brent, you've produced a lot of content for Gibraltar already, and you're doing that again. You're still doing that. Like, there's some more coming out. What's your favorite aspect of doing that? Like, what's your ideal dream situation of creating content?
Oh man, what I love to do is I love to be able to one of my favorite pieces of content to create were the hardware makeovers that we used to do. Oh. And this was a video where people would send me photos of their drum kit, and I would basically take their drum kit and I would remake everything in Gibraltar.
That's cool.
I wouldn't necessarily do it with only racks. I would do it with, you know, tom stands, or I would do it with cymbal stands and just show different ways of consolidating the setup without having to have, if they've got seven or eight cymbals on their kit, show them how they could do the entire setup with three stands and still be extremely stable. But I love how I could walk people through the process of, you know, teaching them, like, here, you could do this with this. This is all you need. It's a lot easier than you think. So that, I love the teaching part of it, as well as the creative part of it.
Brett, right, do you notice in this era with all of these YouTube videos and such that a lot of drummers have their kits set up perhaps not ergonomically correct, that the reach is too far? Do you think that do you see that a lot, that it, you know, as a community, it's something that needs some attention?
You know, I do notice drummers do talk to me about that. And this is not just now. This has always been the way it is, as far as, you know, as from my experience in my career. There's been a lot of players that I've worked with that come to me, they're like, you know, I can't get my setup exactly the way that I want it to feel, that feels comfortable. And either the company that they're working with just doesn't have the options to be able to facilitate that, or they don't know what they can use in order to be able to help facilitate that. So that's one of the things that I love about, you know, helping people with setups like this, is just to be able to show them different ways that they can do that. And a lot of the time they would get, you know, I'd get done building a setup for them, they're like, oh my God, I've never felt anything so easy to play. Like, this makes me want to sit down and play.
Yes.
But it's a wide kind of issue that all drummers have, and it's going to continue to happen.
Yes.
Right.
I kind of noticed you'll see a picture of a drum set for sale from a major manufacturer, and they sort of set it up so you could see everything, not the way it's set up to actually play it. So new drummers buy those drum kits, and then they set them up, you know, with everything so far out of reach. Of course, you could see it, but and then you work on your chops and you work on your playing. But if it's not set up ergonomically easy for you to reach, then, you know, your technique is minimized. You're not as efficient as you could be.
Oh, for sure. And in doing lots of videos and photos, in my experience, the way that, you know, if you were to set something up ergonomically and you want to get a pretty picture, a pretty photo out of it, those two don't always like go together.
Yeah.
so sometimes like you have to set up this. We just did a photo shoot probably 2 or 3 months ago where I had to set up a drum kit, and in order to get it to look proper on camera, I had to set it up to where it just looked horrible in the studio. Like there's absolutely no way you can play this. But
yeah,
with the way the camera angles come in, it's like you, in order for it to even look presentable, you have to set it up this particular way. But yeah, I completely understand what you're saying.
Well, it's interesting, you know, think about the drums as a unique among instruments, in that there are so many angles and surfaces and positions to get right. You know, if you think about it compared with like a piano, you know, you sit down on the stool and that's it. Or your cello, you sit in the chair and you play the cello. There's not like, you know, 20 different things to adjust and figure out what works for you and what makes it easier to play. It makes sense. Like one thing you said earlier really, really sort of rang a bell in my head. You said, we work hard to make it so that it makes it easier, as easy to play as possible, or something like that. You said it really well. You said it better than that. And I think that's often an overlooked aspect of playing the drums. You know, when students come in and they sit down at the drums, many of them, especially if they're newer students, won't even make any adjustments. And I'm like, hey, that snare drum's way too high for you. Or like, oh, yeah, it is? You know, or the hi-hats, it's too far away, you know. So I help them, you know, learn to make these adjustments, but beginners don't know anything about how it's supposed to feel, right? So they just sort of sit down and they end up playing with whatever they get. And, you know, how many times have we sat in on someone else's kit and you're like, oh man, this doesn't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So yeah, it makes perfect sense. I mean, thank goodness there's companies like yours that are out there making all these products for drummers to be able to make it easy to play.
Are you constantly chasing that perfect snare drum tone? Do you find that after you put a new head on your snare and tune it up, you still have to apply something to the drum to achieve the tone you're after? The members of the Drummers Education Connection would like to suggest the Aquarian Focus X. The Focus X is a 10 mil texture-coated head with a unique vented muffling ring tucked into the hoop underneath the head. The Focus X produces a sensitive snare response and a full articulate sound while eliminating any unwanted ring. It's the perfect all-around head for studio recording or live playing. Check out the Focus X at your favorite drum shop today.
You know, yeah, Jeremy, go ahead. I'm sorry, Brett.
I was just going to say, just to tag on to that, I know, you know, from when I first started playing drums, I set it up just how I saw people setting it up on, you know, at school and and on television. Like, I didn't know how I was going to play it and how well it's going to work for myself until my drum teacher came over and he was like, no, you completely.
You know, during COVID was the first time that I got to see what all my drum students' kits looked like. And I was like horrified. I don't mean that the drums were bad. I mean that the setups were so, you know, not efficient, not ergonomic, and so funky. And I'm like, things at crazy angles. And it's like, oh man, you know, it made me realize that like every student ideally deserves a teacher coming over to their house to show them how to get everything set up right.
Yeah. You know, guys, there's no doubt that the drum set is the most customizable of all instruments. And I just encourage people to be really, really creative. Experiment. Go ahead, put some bongos up on your drum set. Hit the bongos with the sticks. You can do that. Stack some cymbals together. Do like Dom Famulero did. Flip your toms. Why does the highest pitch tom have to be the left? You know, mix it up. You can do so much. And so that's why a company like Gibraltar is very, very, very important in helping us to evolve.
Well, I've come across some really cool Gibraltar products that I didn't know, but like at the NAMM show, I discovered those, I don't know what you call them, but they're these attachments you put on the cymbal stands that have a flip top instead of a wing nut.
Oh yeah, the swing nut, yes.
What a genius invention. I bought those right away and it's like those have been great. I've never lost a wing nut since, right? We don't have wing nuts. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I love that you're constantly innovating and figuring out ways to do, you know, to do these things better.
Making life better for drummers, baby.
Okay. One drummer at a time.
One drummer at a time.
Brent, in building racks and putting a rack together for any drummer, you know, you pick the drummer if this has happened. Have you ever had a drummer come in and say, okay, this is what I want, this is what I'm going for, and I want to, you know, like the look, because the look is obviously so, it's a showstopper sometimes. I've always said the drum set's like the hood ornament on a really cool classic car, you know, when you go to a concert. Have you ever had one of them go, okay, I want you to build this and have the rack do that, and it completely changes the way that they set the drums up? Maybe like Rick had brought up, like Famulero or Kenny Arnoff puts the 10-inch tom over here. Has anybody gone, well, because of the way the rack is, now I'm going to move stuff around? Have you ever had that happen?
Yes. I can't remember exactly the players that's happened with. Most of the time, I would go into a rack build with, you know, kind of rough plan. Like I would have it drawn out. They'd tell me people tell me exactly what they want, where they have everything placed and where they need it. And then they tell me the kind of look that they're going for. And then I'm like, okay, so then I've got this idea of how it's going to come together. And then when we get in there, there's always things that, you know, we get like little, you know, roadblocks where we have to make a right turn. You know what I mean? There's been times where everything's gone together just flawlessly and perfectly as the plan. But then there's a lot of the time where there's, you know, things that we have to pivot on, because the idea isn't, the drum isn't getting right to where they need it, or it's something, you know, you spawn a new idea that you want to, you know, go down. But once we get the, the drums placed and, you know, the players in a, happy space where it feels really good to them, I have heard back like, oh dude, so I added another 13 to over here. This thing felt so amazing. It was, my playing hasn't felt so comfortable. Hasn't felt as comfortable as being played on this rack. So I have gotten players to where they'll add stuff to the setup after we get done with the initial rack build.
So right. Brent, I got another question. I don't know if this is a stupid question or not, and I don't mean to offend you, but let's say, okay, Bart mentioned that he's got a 17-year-old snare stand, right? The company's making solid products. Aren't you worried that he's never going to buy another snare stand as business-wise?
Actually, I need another snare stand, so.
No, because he's going to tell five other drummers about it.
There you go.
Let's buy one.
That's the answer.
There it is.
Well, and, you know, I mean, every student that I that's what the endorsement relationship's about, especially with the on the educational side of things. Like, I mean, every one of my students, hey, I need a new cymbal stand. Oh, get this Gibraltar stand. Get there, here's the exact SKU number. Order this stand. You know, I need a new snare stand. Get this snare stand. Throne. Dude, the throne, that's another big one. You're talking about all the thrones. You know, I think as an educator, it's our responsibility to help our companies, you know. And do you feel that education is kind of another area where Gibraltar is really heading towards now?
Education is definitely a very important route, because that's where people get exposed to playing. I was first exposed, the first drum kit I was ever exposed to was Yamaha. And I'll always have a, you know, a soft spot in my heart because of that was the first drum kit. That's what I played on when I was in high school. It was a Yamaha kit. And we definitely do feel that it's very important to go after that younger demographic and the education market for sure.
Because I think, Brent, for a long time that was that was untapped.
Show up at any of the trade shows?
I'm sorry, did you guys, could you repeat the question?
I think we had some lag there. Sorry, Bart, did you have a question?
No, go ahead, Rick. I think you go for it.
Okay, we had lag there. Sorry. So, Brent, does Gibraltar display at any of the trade shows for drummers, like NAMM or Percussive Arts Society or Vegas Show or any of these?
Yeah, so we will be at NAMM this year. We're going to have our own booth. So we're distributed by Hal Leonard, and they're based out of Milwaukee. And most of the throughout the past, like, basically Gibraltar has always, you know, been displayed in whatever distributor's booth that is being shown. We've been at NAMM every year that Hal Leonard's been there since 2017, and before that it was all the other owners. This year Hal Leonard is going to be showing us as well, but we're also going to have our own little 10x10 booth that we're going to have some stuff shown up set up at. And as far as PAS, Hal Leonard goes to PAS. They're really big into the education market, and they'll have some Gibraltar on display there as well.
Excellent.
When did what was the decision for Hal Leonard? How long ago did they take over the distribution on Gibraltar?
So they took over Gibraltar distribution, I believe, in 2016, 2017, I think. Around 2015. It was right after DW bought Gibraltar from KMC, from Fender.
Oh, okay, okay. And so they and they're still the major distributor for Gibraltar is Hal Leonard.
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's great. So that's you found that to be a good relationship then with Hal Leonard.
Yeah, the guys over at Hal Leonard are awesome. They really know the brand very well. They've got a really extensive network of dealers that they work with, and they sell a ton of other MI brands as well. So it really helps, you know, it really helps when a distributor that you work with can basically outfit an entire music store if they want to.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, completely, completely. I have another question. Do you find that, you know, we were talking about gear and products, and you want people to go out and just beat the living crap out of it on the road, right? Just beat the heck out of it. Do you get, when you get feedback from drummers, hey, this whatever, this hi-hat stand just doesn't work for me because of A, B, C, and D, do you automatically go into R&D, or is it just like, oh, that one guy, he's got a real heavy foot? Or what do you do to start, I don't want to say rectifying a problem, but maybe just saying, hey, let's make this better. What do you guys do? How does that work?
So the current process is that if, you know, someone comes back and it's a testing sample that we've got two or three out, and, you know, we get any issues that come back, we're saying this is the problem that's happening with this. We need to make this, we need to modify this so this doesn't happen anymore. And then it goes back into the manufacturing side, R&D side, and they figure out whether it's the tooling, whether they need, what they need to add to it, what they need to change. That's generally what happens.
Okay, very good.
Hey, do you Brent. Find,
go ahead, Chip.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off, Bart.
No, go for it, dude. It's all you.
I'm geeking out on your website, and I'm looking through the products, and I was like, this flat hi-hat stand, that's so interesting looking, and I'm wondering, how did that come about? Why would you need that, and what's the advantage of having a flat hi-hat stand with the legs played so low?
Which hi-hat stand? Are you talking about the no-leg hi-hat stand?
No, it's a 8000 series flat bass hi-hat stand, which the legs just go really low to the floor.
Oh, yeah. Flat bass hi-hat stand, you know, the flat bass series is, you know, is an homage to the old vintage style stands. And plus they're really lightweight. A lot of players will these types of stands because they're lightweight. But the Gibraltar stands have still, even though they might be lightweight, they've still got a lot of girth to the legs, to the cymbal stand base. So you don't have to worry about, you know, being as gentle with them as, you know, a smaller diameter tube stand you have to be sometimes.
That's cool. And you got more than one no leg hi-hat stand. That's cool for our double bass friends out there.
That's what this hi-hat is here. It's a no-leg hi-hat stand, and I've got a Gibraltar arm holding it to the cymbal stand. I've got everything real compact here in the studio because it's, you know, it's a small studio. What about that new stand? Oh, I don't know how new it is. Maybe this is a naive question, but the suspension stand where it has the big curve, where it's, you know, looks like a birdcage hanger. What was it? It's really cool looking. What was the thought behind that?
The suspended cymbal stand.
Yeah.
So that's definitely designed for, you know, concert band usage.
Okay.
So that a player can hang a cymbal from it, and they can do all different kinds of cymbal swells and create a lot of different sounds. It's got a little threaded knob at the very top, so if somebody wants to put like a little splash cymbal on top of the curve, they can.
Do you find that some rock guys or whatever, just because of a look, they'll use that or no?
You know, I haven't personally witnessed too many drum set players using that.
Okay, I was just curious. It's cool. It's a cool looking stand, and I can, you know, you're only limited, it seems like, with Gibraltar by your imagination, you know, and I could totally see somebody with these big things hanging all over the place with them. It would be fun.
Those are going to be on my next rack, like one right here.
Are they really? Seriously?
No, I'm just I'm gonna make a point to do it now, though.
Yeah, you're going to do it. You're going to go, hey, Bart, look at this.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. What about the talk? You were talking about the thrones. We're geeking out here. Like, why so many thrones? Just because of the same reason you want the comfort or what have you? Talk about that a little bit.
So there's three or four different elements when it comes to a throne. You know, there's the shape of the top, which, you know, is, you know, the most common sizes are round, and then they've got saddle style or moto style.
Moto style, yeah.
There's also the thickness of the throne. You've got thrones that are more thin. You've got thrones that are thicker. And then there's also the firmness of the throne. There's some that are really thin, that have got, they've got a lot of plush memory foam type of a feel, so it really, you really sink into it. Then there's also the base, the style of the base that you want to use. Do you want a threaded base where you want a spindle height, you want to raise it by spinning the top, or do you want a base that's got a hydraulic lift to it?
I like the spinny base.
You're probably one of those players that doesn't like the feeling of the bounce with the throne, right?
No, I don't. Jeremy does.
I do.
And then, yes, and that's a big factor. It's like, you know, you're doing a little bit more work with the spindle height, but if you like something that's solid feeling, then a hydraulic throne base is not going to be a good fit for you.
Yeah.
Plus, there's another element to it. There is the type of material that is covering the throne. Now, Gibraltar has four to five different types of material. We've got, you know, vinyl. We've got cloth. We've got a neoprene. We've also got an AirTech, which is a mesh web that helps with cooling. So it really, really tries to appeal to players customizing the type of feel that they want when they're playing, because there's so many different types of players out there. Like, everybody's different.
Yeah, I always talk to my students and tell them that the drum throne is one of the most important pieces of gear.
Mm-hmm. If not the most important.
Yeah. You know, when I was studying with Ralph Humphrey, that was really one of the first things he addressed. I sat down to play, and he had a hydraulic throne, and I'm tall, you know, and I reached down, I grabbed the handle, I bottomed it out, and I started playing. And he goes, wait a second, do you always sit that low? And I go, yeah, I do. You know, I like to sit low. And he goes, well, do you have lower back problems? Well, in my mind, I was like, no, I don't. But then once I got to thinking about it, it's like, well, yeah, I kind of do. And because of him, everything, like, I moved everything up. And I used to play with a drum throne with a backrest, mm-hmm. you know. And he goes, and I found this to be true. This is what works for me. He goes, yeah, don't use a backrest, because you're going to lean back, and then you're not going to be solid in your left foot, and your time's going to be wonky. And so because of him, I do the same thing with my students. The first place you start is the throne, kick, snare, and hat, and then build it from there, you know. And that's, I think the throne is an incredibly, like Chip said, probably the, or you, Brent, said, the most important piece of the equipment, you know. Well, a lot of times, go ahead.
I was going to say, I didn't mean to interrupt. If you think about it, if your throne were an instrument you would play on your drum set, it would be the most played instrument on your kit.
Because absolutely,
you're sitting on it for the amount of time that everything else is moving. So it's causing the most damage to your body than anything else. So if you have a solid foundation, it's going to make your playing much better. It's going to make you more comfortable, and you're going to be able to sit through those longer playing sessions that you normally wouldn't be able to.
So, Brent, I think you're going to get an order soon for an 18-inch Cordura saddle drum throne. That sucker looks good.
Is that the oversized one?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, oh, I love that one. That's a great one.
It's nice.
Okay, you're probably going to get two orders then.
You got a nice comment from James Harrison, who's a frequent contributor and a terrific drummer and educator in his own right. He says, Gibraltar's always been in tune and often ahead of the curve with the needs of the drumming industry. Really nice.
Thanks. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you, James.
Yep.
I like the, you know, some of the little things that Gibraltar does. We're coming close to the end of the show here, but that you guys do that, again, what James said, being ahead of the curve, like the new, well, I don't know how new they are, the tablet holders and the cell phone holder. I have an old cell phone that's like a billion years old, and I've got my song list on there. I've got all the songs that we play. And I've been in the band for 25 years. It is full of songs, and it has the BPM. That's my set list. So I go through, okay, here's the set we're playing tonight. Bop, 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 bop. Put them in there, and it goes right here on my hi-hat. Gibraltar makes a great clamp for that. You have a clamp for a tablet. We run our own in-ear monitors. My tablet is right here, and it's never once, knock on wood, never took in a digger. I mean, it's and we're talking 100 shows a year, and I've had that thing for a long time. It's right there. It's solid. And it's those little things that when you're on the gig and you're playing all the time that make life easier. You know, having a cymbal stand not fall over goes without saying. Having a snare drum stand that doesn't collapse on you goes without saying. But it's those little things. It just, hey, this makes my world just a little bit easier. Love it, and Gibraltar is awesome with that.
I think that's very cool. I also want to say to our friends that are listening to this podcast on their cell phones, you can still look on your browser on your cell phone while the podcast is playing and visit GibraltarHardware.com right now.
You can. And you can go to YouTube and you can see a nice picture of Brent Barnett up there. So be sure to go to YouTube and check out Brent's hang and check out all the stuff that he does with Gibraltar. It's always fantastic. And every time I see one, I sit through the whole video and I watch it. And he always, and Brent, you do, seriously, man, you always have something. It's like, oh, wow, you know, I never thought of that. You know, that's a great idea. And it might be the smallest thing, but again, the small things are what make the biggest difference. We come down, Sam Morrison Band, we play down in Florida quite a bit. We play down down there a lot. And so next time I'm down there, and I love to go fishing. So if I'm down there for a couple of days, maybe I'll hit you up and we'll go through a few worms.
You got it. Mm-hmm.
Well, we have to ask them all. Well, unless anybody else has any questions, we got.
I do.
Okay.
I do.
When
you caught your bass, you said bass. What bait were you using in the pond?
I was using a crankbait.
Crankbait. Okay.
Are you familiar? Are you familiar with a crankbait?
No, I have no idea what that means.
They look like a little fish, but they have this piece that goes this like.
A rudder
plastic
thing
piece
in the
that goes
front.
right on the front of the nose of it.
Yeah.
So that when you reel it in, it dives and then it just swiggles back and forth like that.
Okay.
And with my luck, like I can't catch anything on anything other than crankbait. I've tried topwater lures. They say are real good around here. I haven't caught anything with topwater lures.
Right. Crankbait. Got it.
Yeah. I can't fish with worms to save my life. but I can do some damage with a crankbait though.
Nice.
Chip usually just smashes his face into the water and pulls a fish out with his mouth.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
We need to go fishing.
Yeah. You got to show me that, man. So the most important question we asked this of everybody, we got away from it for a little while, but I'm bringing it back in. In South Florida, where's the best place to get pizza?
Oh my gosh. I don't feel like I'm the right person to answer that question just yet. I haven't lived here long enough. We're eating so many different places right now because before where I lived a little bit further remote and we were limited to just a few places. But here, there's thousands of places to eat. So I'm still exploring. So when I have a better answer for you, I'll let you know.
All right,
I love that.
Well, we got to have him back on the show.
Yeah,
exactly. I would love to come back.
Yeah, anytime, man.
Thank you for coming, Brent.
We're glad you and your family are okay, and everyone's good down there. And our thoughts and prayers go out to all those people that have been affected by the hurricanes.
Yeah, man, really, seriously. And Brent, thank you so much. Welcome back to Gibraltar, and welcome onto the deck. It's great to see you. And we will see everybody next week. We don't know what the topic is, but we know it's just going to be Chip and I, because Jeremy's going to be in Europe and Rick's going to be down there in Florida, right? Aren't you going to be down in Florida?
I'm going to be in Southern Florida in Melbourne. Yeah. Seeing my my mom for her 98th birthday.
Wow.
And we might, on next week's episode, we might have a special guest, Fred Fisher.
Hey, check out Fred Fisher's show this morning, Coffee with Fred.
Oh, that was a good one. That was a good one.
That was a good one. All right, everybody, Fred, thanks for watching. We'll see you next week. Everybody have a great week. We'll see you next time on deck.
Thanks, guys.